Welcome to this week's episode of Because You Can't Read All the Time with myself and Irish cockfight impresario Erin.
That's me.
That is you. Always has been.
Always will be.
Your dedication to the sport is really inspiring.
You gotta live for something.
Or you'll fall for anything. Is that the saying?
Probably. I don't pay attention to sayings that much because I'm really into the cockfighting. That takes up most of my time.
Yeah. I guess you wouldn't know a lot of sayings if you were deep in the lifestyle the way you obviously are. And with me, as always, is Hitchens the dog, who may or may not feel the need to editorialize with his little voice, as he sometimes does.
Well, if he doesn't, Rusty the dog is also here. He's not my dog, but I live with him.
He's your roommate.
Yeah, he's my roommate.
You have kind of a Scooby Shaggy dynamic.
Pretty much. Yeah. Only we're pretty tame in comparison. We're not out, you know, eating psychedelic snacks all the time. We're solving mysteries.
Stacking really high sandwiches.
Yeah, that's totally not our style, but... You know, he's a good guy, so.
Yeah, he doesn't have an annoying nephew who can talk.
Thank God.
I know. Those are the worst kinds of nephews. So, this week we are talking about our worst fears, which is...
Yeah, it's kind of dark, isn't it?
It is. Don't listen to this before going to bed, kids.
It's my fault, because... A little while ago, I had my wisdom teeth out, and two of my great fears happened to be losing my teeth and having surgical procedures. So it was kind of a topical sort of thing, but, you know, we'll keep it light, maybe.
Yeah, we're not going to talk about, like, morbid fears, not like, you know, existential dread. Or I mean, we can do a podcast on that if you want. But not this time.
No.
But I will let Erin start, because she suggested the topic.
Okay. Well, I named a couple of mine, and I have others, like falling downstairs, or, you know, I get a little nervous, you know, during air travel, but I actually, the more I delved into my psyche, the more I realized... My number one top fear in this world is ending up on I Didn't Know I Was Pregnant on TLC.
Yes, that should be a very real fear for anyone of childbearing age.
I mean, I'm going to make a little disclaimer because I've seen the show and there are, like, very rarely women who... You know, maybe because of medical reasons, it wasn't as apparent or whatever, and, you know, they're...
You can say it. You can say it. Fat chicks.
Yeah, fat chicks.
You can say it. All right, continue.
And I mean, you know, okay, so maybe they're not so stupid, like, it wasn't so obvious, or, you know, there are some other girls who their reenactments aren't as horrifying as, you know... Others, and you can think, well, okay, maybe they're a little stupid, but, you know, it's not the most embarrassing thing ever. No one's going to remember it. But then you, once in a while, get a woman who has a baby in a toilet or something, and it's just like, number one, you're stupid, and number two, oh my God.
Sorry.
This is the only thing anyone's going to remember you for the rest of your life.
I know. I was trying to pull up a video. Sorry, there was a noise there. I was trying to pull up a video of a clip from I Didn't Know I Was Pregnant. This one has a woman squatting over a toilet, but it is 11 and 26 minutes long. So I don't think I'm going to play that. But yeah, it's this woman. If you're not familiar with the premise of the show, and if you aren't, you know, let me be the first to welcome you to the planet Earth. Because it's an awesome show, and, it usually involves women having babies on toilets, like, 9 times out of 10, that's what's going on, because these women, and a lot of times it is medical, sometimes they're just stupid, and they don't, I mean, it's what it sounds like, and that's kind of why I like the show. It's just the reassuring simplicity of a show called I Didn't Know I Was Pregnant, that's really just about women who didn't know they were pregnant. And the one that I saw, the one that always sticks with me, is a woman who goes into labor at a camp on a camping trip, and obviously doesn't know what's happening. So she runs into the outdoor bathroom facility, and she's going into labor, and she doesn't understand what's happening. Apparently, and this, it gets a little graphic, so again, kids, don't listen to this before going to bed. But I guess the baby starts to like crown, and her boyfriend comes in, and she has no idea she's giving birth to a human baby. So she yells at her boyfriend, "What's going on?" And he sees this crowning baby, and he goes, "I don't know."
They're always so dramatic, and it's like, how could you not know?
Like, and if you think about it, if you don't know, I mean, you literally have no idea you're pregnant. Your boyfriend has no idea you're pregnant. You go into labor, neither of you has any idea what's happening. That would be pretty terrifying. You're probably thinking, oh my gosh, it's like an episode from House. Like, what's happening? This has never happened to anyone before in the history of the world. Like,
and it's great because, you know, yeah, there are the women who are like, oh, I'm anemic and I didn't know or whatever. Or they're like, oh, I didn't gain that much weight. I didn't think it was weird. But, you know, I saw a marathon like not too long ago. And this one woman, you know, the epitome of the examples, she's like, yeah, I had unprotected sex with this guy. I didn't think it was a problem. Then I didn't get my period for a long time, and I didn't think it was a problem. And then all of a sudden I was having a baby, and I was like, what?
Oh, wow.
And it's just like, wow. Wow. I don't know what to tell you.
I used to say that there should be a test to have babies. Like, you need to be able to pass a basic intelligence test to be a parent. I have now revised that. I think you need to be able to pass a basic IQ test to be sexually active.
Yes, I agree with that.
I think that that would be the best form of birth control of all time, is if, like, if you're even thinking about it, let's sit you down and have you take an IQ test.
It's really just protection for the human race.
And it wouldn't even be an IQ test. It would just be, like, simple tasks. Like, just, can you, like, take the top off a jar? Do you know your left from your right? Like, just simple, simple things that you would think people would know, but so often they don't.
Yeah, exactly. And so my great fear is that, you know, I'm on my high horse now, but one day, you know, because occasionally you get like nauseous for no reason or something, and then you're like, oh my God, like, what if this is the beginning of the end? What if not only I'm pregnant somehow, miraculously, but also I'm going to be on this show because...
Right.
I didn't know I was pregnant in the first place. And so that is truly my greatest fear.
See, I have the opposite problem because I'm a hypochondriac, which now extends to pregnancy, even though pregnancy isn't a sickness, to the point where anytime I am sick, I just, my default is I'm pregnant. And I never am. And so now it's just become this sort of going through the motions thing where I'm like, oh, I'm nauseous. I must be pregnant. Oh, I'm not really pregnant. And there's no surprise there anymore. So because I safe case it and always assume I'm pregnant, even if I'm just like hungover, and there have been times where I've been hungover and just assumed I was pregnant, which is probably really sad. You know, because I'm safe casing it, you know, I could well start, get to the point where I just mistake pregnancy for being hungover and I'm just like, man, I should really cut back on my drinking and then I'm pregnant. You know, like I could be on this show too.
This could happen to anyone.
That's what's really scary. You know, everybody likes to laugh and point fingers at the freaks, but, you know, ask not for whom the bell tolls, you know?
That is exactly my thoughts when I'm watching that program.
It should be. It should be all of our thoughts. All of us who are capable of having children. So, that's a pretty good worst fear. Mine... it's a little more realistic. Not that I don't think you can't get pregnant. Just mine. Even if you are, you're probably never going to be on this show. Whereas, and again, this probably isn't ever going to happen to me either, but mine is falling from a great height. Because this idea of like, I'm falling, I'm going to hit the ground, it's going to be really painful, I'm going to die. But you have kind of a long time to process that, you know? So that sounds kind of scary to me. And what really made me decide, the clincher that made me decide to do this as my greatest fear, was a story I read about a guy who died while planking. And I would classify myself as a somewhat moderate yoga enthusiast. And so when I read planking, I'm thinking like a plank position, like you're getting ready to go up into a push-up. I'm like, oh my God, that can kill you. Again, hypochondriac. So I'm thinking, wow, could I die from yoga? So no, apparently, I mean, maybe you can, but that's not what this is about. This is about a young man who, and this is an article from the Daily Beast, Australian police reported that a young man took a deadly tumble from a seven-story balcony in Brisbane on Sunday while he was quote-unquote planking, a stunt that involves, and this is where I get confused, lying flat on your stomach in an odd or dangerous situation while someone takes a picture and posts it on social media forums. The internet phenomenon has recently gone viral. One Facebook page devoted to planking has 90,000 fans and features hundreds of photos of people lying on chimneys, escalators, and even camels. Even camels? Last week, one man was allegedly caught planking on a police car in Queensland, prompting police to warn plankers of the possible risks and dangers that come with the internet meme. Okay,
Let me just say that that is completely, like, I'm on Wikipedia and I'm looking at planking.
Yeah.
Parentheses fad. And it's just, like, the examples they have are people laying in the grass or, like, in front of Taj Mahal.
Yeah.
So it seems like a pretty safe thing to
do. But why are you laying down? Like, why wouldn't you just take your picture in front of the Taj Mahal?
Yeah.
Like, why are you late? That's what I can't process.
Well, I can't process. So this guy was just on a balcony. How did he fall if he was, like,
I think
on
he
his
was,
stomach?
He was balanced precariously on it.
Oh, okay.
I mean, that makes sense. But, like, so a guy was, this has to be, you're really scraping the bottom of the internet meme barrel, I feel like, if this is what does it for you, lying on your stomach. Because, okay, so they caught a guy planking on a police car. So this guy's just lying on his stomach on a cop car?
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
And to what end? I don't understand.
Well, okay, I guess, yeah, that I don't get. Or, like, on a chimney? That I don't get.
I mean, I almost understand the more dangerous ones more because it's like, look, I'm balanced precariously. You know, like, I can at least appreciate why that would be something. But the fact that the origins of this apparently come from just people lying on their stomachs in front of monuments, like, makes no, it doesn't make any damn sense.
It makes more sense to me, because then it's like, oh, you have this really weird picture of, like, people walking around, and then there are, like, some bodies in the middle of, like, this square. Like, okay, that's kind of weird. But it's still kind of, it's still a little weird.
Yeah, I just, and 90,000 fans of a Facebook site is really not that many if you think about it. I mean,
it's not.
It's a lot, but when you consider that, like, some places have, like, millions of fans, I don't think if a meme has a Facebook fan page, I don't think it's really a meme if it only has 90,000 fans.
Yeah, it's not. Sorry, go on.
Well, because I think meme, I think, like, Chuck Norris or, you know, like Princess Beatrice hat, or there are certain things that are memes where, like, you have an instant they have an instant recognition factor. Whereas if I see a picture of a guy lying on his stomach in front of, like, the Washington Monument, I'm like, weird.
Yeah, it's just like, and it's morbid too, because it looks like people are dead or something.
But yeah, and I don't know. And then when I'm Googling this for the purposes of the podcast, I discovered my new worst fear. I just typed in man dies, and the first thing that came up was man dies at cockfight. And this had particular resonance because Erin, of course, used to moonlight as a cockfight impresario at one point in her life.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say used to. I still dabble in the arts, but it's close to my heart, you know?
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure injuries that happen in the sport, you already know about them. Like, I would just be telling you about something you already knew about.
Yeah, and I should reiterate that I watch the fights. I don't fight the cocks.
Right. No.
Which is where most of the injuries occur, so.
Yeah, no, this guy, it was in California. A rooster spur sliced his leg.
Yeah, sometimes those spurs can be pretty, I mean, it's not really regulation, you know?
Yeah.
You don't do that normally. It's not really a fair fight.
It's the difference between UFC and, like, a street fight.
Yeah, definitely. It definitely is. And I mean, yeah, if you're going to that sort of cockfighting event, then I would be careful for sure. But yeah, so are you're legitimately afraid of this sort of accident occurring now?
Of getting injured at a cockfight? I sure am.
Is it just because of, like, the seriousness of the injury, or because you wouldn't want to be found by the police at a cockfight?
I think it's the second one.
Yeah.
I think it's more the idea that I'm a pretty respectable citizen. I feel like I enjoy a certain level of cachet in the circles I travel in. Okay, maybe that last part isn't true, but I do like to think that I'm considered fairly respectable. And I just feel like if people found out that, oh, Maggie was injured at a cockfight, you know, they'd be like, did she have this whole other life we didn't know about? Which I feel like, to be fair, is a concern that a lot of people I know have about me. I've met a lot of people who seem concerned that I'm somehow engaged in weird activities in my off hours, which I'm not. I mean, aside from the occasional podcast, I'm not really doing anything weird, but it seems to be a concern that people have. And if I got caught at a cockfight, people would be like, I knew it! I knew she was into something weird. She was fighting roosters.
It's kind of like the whole Schwarzenegger thing. Like,
yeah.
We all knew something had to be up, but it took this long, and now it's like, how could he keep it a secret? Did he even know?
Yeah. So. And that whole thing, have you seen his mistress?
No, I haven't.
Okay, she's not cute.
Should I Google her?
I think you definitely need to. I think that's imperative at this point. Because
as a former Californian, I feel like I'm missing him.
He was your governor. And I should mention that this cockfight death happened in California under Schwarzenegger's watch. So all kinds of things went to hell while he was having his dalliances with this woman.
I'm looking. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. She's got quite the chest.
And do you think that's it? But do you think that's what the thing was?
You know, maybe. I mean, the creepy thing is that she kind of looks a lot like him.
I was going to ask you to describe her to the listeners, but I think that's a good starting point. She's like a fat Arnold Schwarzenegger with huge boobs.
Yeah, that's definitely how I would describe it. She looks Latina.
Yeah.
All the pictures I see of her, it looks like she's wearing tracksuits or something similar. She has a, like, soulless gaze similar to Schwarzenegger. I can see why they got together. I mean,
they just looked into each other's, swollen eyes, soulless eyes. And her name is Gigi Goyette. this is another girl. Her name is, the girl that he had the baby with, I think her name is Mildred Baena. This other girl is Gigi Goyette, and he denies an affair with her.
But who knows at this point?
That's right. And she does kind of look like him. And it's weird because the picture that I'm coming up with is the three of them posed in front of a Christmas tree together. Like,
yeah,
a family type photo. It's very disturbing.
It really is. I mean, they just both look like they came from the same weird European mannequin factory.
Yeah.
And then worse, like, someone stuffed them full of helium, which caused them to bloat. I don't know.
It's as if they both, it's like that line from, I think, Gross Point Blank, where John Cusack goes to his high school reunion and observes that it's as if everyone had swelled. And that's kind of what I'm feeling like. I feel like they just sort of got bigger and not necessarily better. And then poor Maria Shriver, I mean, can you imagine that, like, did she know? Did she not know? And then if she didn't know, The fact that the catalyst was, like, one day she just realized that this kid looked like her husband. Like, oh, hey, he kind of looks like you. Hey, wait a minute, is this what I think it is? Like, how does that all come about? Like, I mean, my husband could probably, like, if he had a kid that looked like him that wasn't mine, would I notice? Would I be like, hey, Jeremy, that kid looks just like you. Oh, my God. Like, I don't know.
It's like that they could make another reality show about this. I didn't know my husband's mistress was pregnant.
Yeah, well.
Something like that.
And then there's, I just got a text from my friend today telling me that there's a new one out called Switched at Birth. Which, you know, they both had their kids around the same time, Maria Shriver and this Mildred woman. And the kid that looks like Arnold Schwarzenegger, maybe it wasn't an affair. Maybe they were switched at birth.
I think that's possible. I should look into that.
Why has no one talked about that? You know, let's, innocent until proven guilty. They haven't ruled out the possibility that the children were possibly switched at birth.
Have they conducted DNA tests? I mean,
who knows what goes on in those drug-addled brains of theirs?
Probably not much.
Probably not much. And, you know, Maria Shriver, she's had a rough go. She's probably not thinking clearly at this point.
I don't really blame her. She seems like a skeleton of a person, but yeah. I also feel bad for her.
Did you see, probably not, but on South Park, Butters was talking about the new Terminator movie. He's like, and it turns out Terminator marries Skeletor. But then it turns out he has, like, this other kid that, you know, it turns out it was his son. And they're like, yeah, that really happened. For life. He goes, no, this one had Skeletor. And they're like, dude, that's his wife.
She does resemble a skeleton.
Well, and that's the thing. She's so thin. And then he leaves her for this, like, monstrosity of a whore. And I like to think I came up with that phrase myself, but if I didn't, it wasn't deliberate plagiarism. Google it. But anyway, yeah. And this, of course, brings me back to my pet topic, which is Prince William and Kate Middleton.
Oh, no.
There will come a time, mark my words, where she's just going to be too thin for him. He's going to start looking for some strange, and it's going to be the spicy Latina housekeeper.
Because they have those.
Because that's England. That's where what they do over there, I'm pretty sure.
That's what I did.
They will in the future.
I think they're all Polish, actually, but I'm willing to still go down this route with you. So.
In the future, fast forward to the time where they're the same age as Maria Shriver and Arnold Schwarzenegger, so 20, 30 years. Most of the help in England will be Hispanic.
From Mexico.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But I actually think that it would be the other way around. Like, William would get too bald for her or something. No. And maybe she would end up with some jolly butler.
We've talked about balding before. Balding is noble like the eagle.
I guess. But, I mean, you can only take it so far. Even the eagle has, like, a little bit of something
going on up top.
Yeah.
Well, that's true. You can really only comfort yourself so long with, no, he's like a noble eagle. And then you just start looking for, you know, then all of a sudden the fat butler starts to look really good to you. And the next thing you know, you don't know you're pregnant.
Yeah. I think they better keep tabs on these two.
I'm waiting for the I didn't know I was pregnant royal edition.
That'll be awesome.
She had no idea. Literally no idea. They went camping and, you know, things just went crazy.
Oh, God.
And then it turned out it was the butler's kid the whole time.
And then there's a shot of her in a bathtub with some wine.
It always goes back to drinking in a bathtub with those royals. I know how they operate. Yeah, so Arnold Schwarzenegger and his mistress, it's a whole, but the good thing about that is I was thinking about it, we don't have to finish our show with a porno because current events pretty much wrote the porno for us this time.
I have a feeling that might be the case many times, like just considering what our pop culture is like.
Considering how many perverts we have running around today.
Yeah.
Yeah. Was everybody always this perverted?
Not until everyone got raptured yesterday.
I didn't. We're still here.
I'm just saying, it's just us perverts left.
Nobody here but us perverts.
That's actually one of my fears, is that...
What?
That they'll be left behind with a bunch of perverts. No, I don't know. I'm just making this up.
I was going to say, it's like, wow, I feel like I'm learning a lot about your strange religious beliefs.
Yeah, this is why I don't talk that often, but...
I'm not a big talker, mostly because I have strange religious beliefs.
I don't want to alienate myself or anything, but...
That I'm fully aware are weird. I know how strange my beliefs are. Oh, wow. But, yeah, no, what is weird about that, though, is that apparently the guy, the Harold Camping or whatever, isn't around.
What happened with that?
He's, like, AWOL, like, nobody knows where he is. So, at first I'm like, oh yeah, he went into hiding because he feels stupid, as he should. Or, what if the rapture happened and he was literally the only one that they took?
Maybe, in which case...
Is it really so bad?
Why even bother?
Yeah, I mean, if that's the case, there's no discernible change in my quality of life.
Yeah, I mean, we're supposed to have severe weather today in Chicago, but...
There you go.
It's been pretty alright, so...
Well, I had a very important thing scheduled for the rapture. At 6 p.m., my friend hosted a Justin Bieber Never Say Never viewing party. Ooh. Without me, I didn't request it. It was all on her, which made it even better that I didn't have to throw it myself. And do you want to know what happened?
What?
I saw some skeptics converted that night.
Like I said, Maggie, it's just us perverts here left.
I was probably the biggest pervert in that gathering at that time. But I saw one girl reach for her phone and start downloading some Justin Bieber songs.
Oh my god. Like, that instantly?
Yes. I told you I came home that night and downloaded like a ton of songs.
I just feel like if anyone was going to be converted, it would have been me, and I wasn't.
I think maybe you had hardened your heart to him.
Maybe this is one of the few pop culture things that I enjoy purely ironically.
See, I think that you're missing out, though. I feel like maybe your soul is dead.
Just like Arnold Schwarzenegger and his... Mistress.
I think there's no other course of action open to you except to go be a spicy Latina housekeeper.
I knew it would come to that, but... Okay. You've convinced me.
I think that it could open some doors for you. I think you can meet some really nice, soulless, powerful men.
Like Kanye? Because I'm down. Ooh. I'm down for that.
Oh, that would be awesome. Yeah, I say go for it.
Yes, life plan.
Vaya con Dios.
As always.
As I always do. So, for those of you who don't know, Vaya con Dios is Spanish for have a good trip.
That's the literal translation.
That is the literal to the word translation. Actually, I have a really funny story about... Again, Aaron and I are Latinas, so any jokes at the expense of the, you know, are the la raza is purely okay. Right?
I like how you stuttered at the
I couldn't think of the word.
it's just that, you know, prevalent in your mind. It's hard to bring, you know, to the forefront with words.
I was overcome with emotion.
I understand. We've all been there.
Yeah, yeah. No, so I know a guy who has not been charged leave by his place of work because the guy in charge of it is Mexican. And my friend is like, he's like half Mexican, but he doesn't speak Spanish. You met him, Chris, from the wedding.
Ah, yes.
Yeah. Chris, he's not been charged leave once because he looks Mexican. He doesn't speak a word of Spanish, but he's established this rapport with the guy who does all the leave stuff. And I'm like, how did you do that? You have like no like discernible cultural Hispanic attributes. And he's like, oh, well, you know, my accent comes out, which he doesn't, he talks like me, like, that would be like me saying, oh, you know, my accent comes out. He's like, my accent comes out, and you know, I've broken bread, or if you will, tortillas with him.
God.
And, so this guy can just do whatever he wants, because, you know, he's, compadres with the leave guy.
It's pretty sweet.
I know. You know, and that's, I told my mom, and my mom's like, yeah, well, that's what the Raza is all about.
Yeah, it certainly is. Although I have yet to reap the benefits.
You're here with me right now.
That's true. And I do get into a lot of cockfights.
There's always the cockfighting. That's definitely a privilege that comes with it.
I mean, it's just a part of my culture.
You don't know anything else.
I don't. I would be lost.
You know literally nothing else.
Just confused. I don't even know what we're talking about anymore.
I've just been in this den of iniquity and cockfighting for so long. I can't understand anything else.
My life is kind of like a Mexican version of Precious in that way.
Preciosa?
Preciosa. Do you like how I pronounced that?
I was gonna say, that sounds like Polish or something.
Yeah.
That would be like if you were like the Polish version of Precious. I didn't actually see Precious, did you?
I did. It was really horrible.
That's what I heard.
It wasn't even, like, well, like, a, you know, a good movie.
Yeah.
But sad. It was just horrible on all counts.
That's what I heard. I mean, and it just sounded like a real low point for everyone involved. So, it's probably one of those things they'll never talk about again.
Well, except for Mariah Carey. I mean,
as the social worker?
Yeah, I think that's the most serious role she's ever going to have. But
the only movie I've ever seen her in, well, I didn't see Glitter. The only movie that I've ever seen her in was The Bachelor, that movie with the guy who, like, I don't remember his deal, but he's, like, dating all these women or something, and he proposes to Renee Zellweger, who for some reason doesn't want to marry him. So he goes through all these extravagant lengths to prove himself worthy of her. And it's, for some reason, that involves, like, going and visiting all of his exes or something. But one of them is Mariah Carey, and she plays, like, an opera singer. And they have her singing opera, and it was not the best thing.
Supposedly her mom was an opera singer. So maybe they were like, oh, she should be able to pick this one up, but...
Does her mom, like, cry herself to sleep every night?
I don't know that much about Mariah Carey's mom, but possibly.
Maybe. I mean, I suppose that's always an option. But that's the only movie I ever saw her in. And actually, I have to say that's the only thing I really remember about The Bachelor, clearly. So it left an impression.
I guess she did a good job then.
Yeah, sure.
Or a really horrible job.
I don't know. Did you see Glitter?
No, I didn't. Maybe I'll Netflix it. It sounds interesting. It's about glitter, I guess.
It was that movie she made that was supposed to be like a vehicle, like a Mariah Carey vehicle, where she essentially like played herself, but not really like some other made-up pop star. And I just remember the cover is, like, her, there's all this glitter, and it says glitter.
So. Yeah, I never knew what it was about, which is...
That might have been the problem.
Yeah, that's probably why I didn't go to see it.
That's probably why a lot of people didn't go see it. Not everybody's as reassured by titles that tell you what a thing is about as I am.
Wait. Okay, on Wikipedia, there's a really... really long synopsis of the plot. I'll just try to do it real quick. Real quick.
Alright.
Let's see. It centers on the life and times of a struggling singer from the early club music scene in the 1980s.
Ooh. Oh,
that's not what I thought it was about. Carey has said about the film, It's in the early 80s, in the club scene of that time. I play a singer, Billy, who's mixed race, from a white father and a black mother. Billy grows up in a foster home because her mother abandoned her. Later on, she meets a DJ and becomes a star in just one night.
Wow.
The point is that all this time, she waits for her mother to return. Wait, how is that the point?
Wait, what?
She's literally just like, the point is...
Yeah, that's what it says. And that's what I love about Wikipedia is that you can... I've never heard that about a movie before. When someone synopsizes it, they give you all this, like, extraneous detail and then goes, listen, but the point is...
This is far away from my reality because I couldn't have a closer relationship with my own mother. Oh, defensive.
Yeah.
Protesting. She's not with me. She calls like every 5 minutes. That's the weirdest plot synopsis I've ever seen.
That tells me nothing about this movie.
Also, it was released on September 11th, 2001.
Oh, that's probably another reason it didn't do that well.
And DeBrat was in it.
Who?
DeBrat.
What?
You're unaware of DeBrat?
I guess so.
let me Wikipedia that for you.
I know, yeah. Well, it sounds very tragic because apparently there's a character named Dice who was planning a reconciliation but is later shot dead by Timothy. So that sounds pretty grim.
Timothy, why?
I know. Dice apparently was a pretty good guy. He had a reconciliation all planned. I don't know.
Here's the thing, Dice. I'm going to call him out.
Yeah.
If you had the reconciliation planned, why didn't you just go do it?
Yeah, that's a good point. Because apparently it involved a note. Because whatever Billy... Is Billy the girl? Yeah, Billy was not with him. She was on stage and commanding the band to stop playing Lover Boy and instead tells Lover Boy being her fictional hit from the show. She commands the band to stop playing Lover Boy and instead tells the crowd never to take someone for granted and that if you love them, you should tell them because you might never have a chance to tell them how you really feel. She then starts to sing Never Too Far. Afterwards, Billy reads a note Dice had left her, in which he tells of his love for her, his plan to see her perform, and that he has found her mother. Spoiler! Billy's limo takes her to the scheduled secluded rural property where she is reunited with her mother. This sounds awful.
It sounds like one of those pulp novels, like, yes. In the back of Target.
Yes. Can I tell you my favorite part about this Wikipedia review, though, is that it has a warning from December 2009 that says, this article's plot summary may be too long or excessively detailed. Please help improve it by removing unnecessary details to make it more concise. This was from December 2009. Nobody even cares enough about this movie to help clean up the review that Wikipedia very helpfully warns you might be too long or detailed.
It's because you can just look right above and read that delightful quote from Mariah Carey.
That's true. That's true. I'm just glad to know she's got a good relationship with her mother. I always wondered, you know.
I mean, we were just speculating about whether her mother cries herself to sleep, so.
That's true. And the fact that she calls every 5 minutes neither confirms nor denies that, really.
That's pretty needy, Mom.
If her mom's calling her up in tears... You know, that's no good. I'm unimpressed. So tell us about DeBrat.
Oh, yeah. So DeBrat is one of the female rappers of the early 90s, I want to say.
Yeah.
I want to say that. She, you might remember her from the Rugrats soundtrack.
I might.
She's from Chicago. Mm. And from Joliet. That's kind
the prison?
Of from prison. yeah.
From prison.
She's from prison. She was, you know, working basically in the 90s. And then I'm just going to read you some of her current activities.
Mm.
In 2005, she made a comeback of sorts when she was featured on the remix to the song "I Think They Like Me" by Dem Franchise Boys.
Oh, wow.
You can guess how that was spelled.
Wow.
Which also featured Bow Wow and Jermaine Dupri.
Wow. Was Bow Wow at that point still known as Lil Bow Wow?
I don't know if they're referring to him in context, using his name from that context,
yeah.
Or if they're, you know, it's kind of hard to tell. They need to clarify these things on Wikipedia.
You know, on the one hand, you have movie reviews that might be too long or excessively detailed, but then when the facts matter, you know, it's not clear.
It's not clear.
Where is Julian Assange when you need him?
Yeah. But, apparently, yeah, she's just had some legal troubles and recently got out of prison.
Julia?
I don't think she was in Juliet. I think she was in Atlanta.
Oh, that sucks. I mean, you're from a prison town. It seems like you could at least maybe go back there.
Yeah, you might know people.
Right. You know, it'd be like if I got to go to prison where I'm from. I mean, it'd be like if anybody got to do that, not just me.
Just you, though. Just yeah. You.
Well, especially because I'm not from a place with prisons, but, you know, if I were, it would be like that.
Well, I mean, I guess going back to the topic, this is one of the things that I am also fearful of, is becoming, like, moderately successful, which I would say both Mariah Carey and DeBrat were, and then later having Wikipedia entries that people clearly either don't look at or yeah. It just ends in like, and they were released from prison.
Yeah, that would be very sad. And, you know, it kind of goes back to the Oscar Wilde saying that the only thing worse than being talked about is not being talked about. I would say that there's a middle ground there where the only thing worse than being like not talked about is sort of having people sometimes talk about you, but maybe not really getting all the facts right and not really being concerned enough to verify them.
Yeah, that's also pretty bad.
Yeah, because on the one hand, I can be like, well, I don't even have a Wikipedia page. But on the other hand, I'm like, but you know what? If I did want one, I wouldn't want a half-assed one, you know?
Yeah, I would want one where if I died, it would be updated immediately.
Right. Like, I assume Elizabeth Taylor's was.
Exactly. I want to be Elizabeth Taylor.
So I guess what I'm saying is I want to do two things. I want a Wikipedia page like Elizabeth Taylor's, and I want to figure out what planking is all about.
I think those are attainable goals.
Well, I feel like if I were to try to get someone to take a picture of me planking, they'd be like, ew, no.
Yeah, it seems like a really kind of weird thing to ask someone to do.
The problem with it is that it's so easily, it's a verb, you know, so you can replace it with pretty much any verb you can think of and it becomes hilarious. At least to my prurient mind, it does. Like, just think about it. You know, you can take a picture of someone blanking in front of the Taj Mahal on the ground. Like, I think that's hilarious. Oh, Woolworth. The Woolsworth just fired 8 employees an hour ago for planking.
The what?
Woolworths.
The one in the UK, or?
They only have them in Europe anymore, but yeah, I have to assume because the headline says Woolworths sacks employees for planking, so they only sack people in the UK. Yeah.
Were they executives? 'Cause that's what's...
No, I think it was like floor workers. Oh. Woolworths has axed 8 employees in 3, and again, as I'm reading this, imagine a different verb, any verb you want, and it becomes even funnier. Woolworths has axed 8 employees in 3 states for performing the potentially dangerous stunt of planking on top of the store's meat grinders, display shelves, trolleys, and stacks of milk crates. The staff And this is how you know it was in the UK. The staff were, not the staff was. The staff were sacked after colleagues reported the online activities to management. However, Woolworths has said the employees were fired for serious breaches of health and safety guidelines, and not specifically for planking. It's nothing to do with planking, Woolworths spokeswoman Claire Buchanan told the Sydney Morning Herald. Ah, okay, Australia. Apparently it's big in Australia, because that guy who died was also, what, in Brisbane or something? I think it's not a global thing. I think it's Aussies.
That could be it, because they're pretty weird as it is.
Yeah, it's not an internet meme. It's just something Australians like to do. I don't think that qualifies as a meme.
It really doesn't, and it kind of justifies my aversion to it.
To Australians or planking?
Planking. Both.
Why? What's your beef with Australia?
Nothing, really. They just kind of seem weird, don't you think?
Well, I think they're like British wannabes. is the vibe that I get. And there's no reason they couldn't be more like a Southern Hemisphere version of Canada, in which they're subjects, but they don't really act like it. They're more their own entity. They do their own thing, and occasionally the Queen comes to visit them. But instead, they have these accents. They have all the, they use a lot of the same terminology, to the point where I don't even think the Canadians use as many, like, grammatical structures and slang phrases the way the Australians do. You know?
Yeah, that makes sense.
And so it just kind of, it seems like Australia's maybe trying too hard, probably trying to accommodate or like make up for the fact that they started as a penal colony.
They're too boisterous is the problem.
That's all certainly true.
Like, that's just the word that comes to mind, and I don't like that they wear shorts.
Yes.
I just don't know.
It's too much. It's just too much. That's
settled down, Australia.
Yes, there's just entirely too much going on down there, and I don't approve of it. I guess is what I'm saying. And so with the planking, perfect example of their what's their boisterosity? Their boisterousness.
Yeah.
Shut up. Anyway, it's a good example of their too high spirit.
Their energy.
They've got too much energy, and so they're planking on top of meat grinders and all manner of inappropriate behaviors.
Which just sounds dirty.
It does. I certainly don't approve. No son of mine.
Oh, no.
If his father ever catches him planking on top of a meat grinder.
Ew.
See? It sounds dirty.
Sounds impure.
It does. So does the phrase meat grinder.
Yeah, maybe that's the problem I'm having with that phrase, mostly.
Well, I have a lot of phrases that make me uncomfortable, like words I don't like to say. Not because they sound dirty or anything, just words I don't enjoy. I don't enjoy formulating the combination of consonants and vowels.
Give an example.
Well, that's the problem, you know? I don't like to say the words. They make me uncomfortable.
Can you, like, type it to me and I'll say it?
Sure, yeah. As I'm typing, let me sort of give you an idea of what I'm talking about. Anything with, like, the double O sound? Like, I'm typing them to Aaron. Like...
Really?
Yeah.
Tootsie rolls.
I don't like saying it. And I'll tell you what makes it a special kind of hell for me is I love them. That's like my favorite candy ever.
I guess the reason I can see someone not wanting to say that isn't because of the, you know, the sort of double O effect.
That's what I hate.
I guess it's just that it sounds too cutesy.
Yeah.
Like, it's the double O and the C, and then the fact that it's this little tiny thing, and it's wrapped up all cute, and...
Yeah.
Why can't you just say, like, I don't know, like, crap-shaped candy or something? Like, yes. Why does everything have to be so nice?
I don't know where the name comes from. I just know I don't like saying it. And that's really the one that I keep going back to that I don't like to say. But really anything with the double O sound. And I've made my peace with a lot of the words just because you have to get along in society. Which not a lot of people realize because they don't share my aversion. But I always, oh, and the other thing I have a problem with is, like, I won't order certain things that I would maybe like to eat because I don't like saying the name. And one of the best examples, and I'll say it because it's contextual, but I was at Denny's with my friend's family, and I really, really wanted the Moons Over My Hammy platter.
But oh, no, I understand that.
I didn't want to say Moons Over My Hammy. And so
it says my hammy, and I don't know what that is.
I don't know what that means. And it's like, it's not a pun because my hammy isn't a thing. Like, there's no such thing as a hammy. Yeah, so I made my friend's mom order it, and then we just switched plates. You know?
It's nice that they accommodated for you.
Yeah, well, it's Denny's. They're very understanding. But I always thought that maybe it was just me, you know, but I read a Woody Allen short story where he describes, you know, he's pretending to be someone else, but he describes being at, like, a bakery with Freud, and Freud really wanted one of the pastries, but he was too embarrassed to say the name of the pastry, and so the girl behind the counter goes, like, oh, do you want the whatever? And he says the name, and he just gets really embarrassed and goes, nothing, never mind, and, like, leaves the store. And I was like, that's so something that would happen to me. I don't know.
No, I understand that.
Do you?
I do.
Do you have any words you, like, don't like to say? Like, I don't know. Is it just me? I don't know.
I don't have words that I don't like to say just because they make me uncomfortable, but I have words that apparently I say incorrectly that I only learned I was saying incorrectly late in life.
Oh.
So I tend to avoid saying them, if only because, and I like the way I say them. I'm not going to change the way I say them, but it just makes me uncomfortable when people point it out anew, or if they're familiar with my pronunciation and they're like, haha.
Yeah.
Two of the examples that I can think of that actually come up pretty often, surprisingly, are Roosevelt.
Really?
Yeah. And alien.
Really?
Yeah.
And you didn't know that you were saying either of those wrong?
I was unaware, and I can see how maybe I say alien incorrect, and now I'm just saying it especially weird because I'm really conscious of
where did that come from?
I don't know. And so that, okay, I concede, I say it incorrectly, but it's a little harder for me to correct because it's not as obvious to me how I'm saying it.
Yeah.
Roosevelt, I'm sorry, that's how it's pronounced. Like, that's just what it is.
You might actually be right, you know, I don't know. That's probably just like the anglicized version or something.
Everyone I come into contact with, and it's a problem because there's a street, Roosevelt Road here, that is pretty big, and I use it quite often, and so, you know, like, it comes up often in my life, and universally, everyone tells me, what? No, it's Roosevelt.
And that ticks me off, because you know that they know, like, what you're saying, like, that they would be like, what? Like, why correct somebody like that?
I don't know, but, and the thing is, like, the more I'm told, no, I've never heard it that way, it's Roosevelt, the more I'm convinced that that's the way it's actually said, Roosevelt, because that's how it looks.
Yeah, just because everybody's heard it that way doesn't mean it's right, you know?
Yeah.
I had that problem with, apparently I have a tendency to put the emphasis on the wrong syllable, so, like, I could see it, well, like, okay, this is really stupid, but I was describing, like, a barrage of bullets or something, you know, like a, you know the phrase, like, the word, like, yeah. Barrage. I had been pronouncing it barrage.
Oh, really?
And Jeremy was like, it's barrage. And I was like, well, you knew what I meant. And he goes, yeah, but who says barrage or barrage? And I was like, I don't know. That's just how I always read it when I would read it places. It's one of those things where you read a lot, but you never actually say. He's like, well, yeah. Well, it's barrage. And I was like, you know who I bet says it? Barrage? I bet Brits say barrage.
I'm sure they do. In fact, I wish we had a call-in podcast so somebody could call in.
I know. British people.
Hey, British people, call us.
Hey, British people, we're talking to you.
I have an example like that, and it's not me for once. It's someone else, and it was the perfect example, and now I can't think of it, but it was really, really good. And I've had other things like this where I have been right about, like, the pronunciation or emphasis about things, but it's usually the other way around. And I felt very good about myself after
really?
I was able to be like, no, yeah. You're wrong. But I mean, I think that happens frequently. Like, people, you know, see a word and they just get used to saying it one way and no one corrects them, or, you know, who's to say what's right anymore? Language is fluid.
Well, and I don't think either one is wrong. I mean, like, I would, for example, I would never correct a British person for saying taco instead of taco.
I would laugh at them just because I feel stupid. Superior.
Yeah, no, I do think it's stupid, but I'm like, whatever, they all say taco. Like, I've never met a British person who says nacho or taco. They say nacho or taco. Like, it's just what they do, you know? And
yeah.
That's how they pronounce it, you know? I got laughed at by a group of Hispanic children for pronouncing nosotros the way I just did. It's like, you know, like in Spanish, you say nosotros. And they're like, ha, ha, ha. I was like, you knew what I meant. You know, like, I'm not going to fake an accent for you. I'm not Alex Trebek.
We all barrage wish we were, but...
or barrage.
See?
Barrage or barrage.
See, you do have, like, the right to pronounce it that way then. Because I wish I could think of this other word, but I got home with someone I was dating, and I got home and showed him, and the pronunciation guide said nothing like what he had said. So I felt very good about myself.
Yeah, see, and I told Jeremy, like, I think that I could pronounce it that way in certain places and it would not be considered weird, you know?
Yeah.
And certainly, like, it's not an affectation. Like, I don't say taco or nacho. It was just something that was my honest way of pronouncing it. I said, and then, you know, there was like this barrage of whatever. He's like, barrage? It's like, you know, like whatever. I don't know. So, I don't know. What's the other thing that they say that, like, I feel like nacho and taco are the two big ones that I'm like, really? You can't say taco? I feel like
I feel like they say puma weird. Like, they'll say puma.
The other thing that I don't like that they do is that, like, Ibiza, they pronounce Ibiza.
Yeah.
And it's already Ibiza. Like, they're already not pronouncing it correctly, but they choose to do the TH for the Z. And I'm like, well, you're already saying Ibiza instead of Ibiza, so why not just say Ibiza like every other English-speaking person? You know what I mean? Like, why half-ass it? Like, with the Wikipedia entry for Debrat, do it or don't.
Yeah, exactly.
It's Ibiza or it's Ibiza, but don't give me this Ibiza stuff. And they used to do it all the time. Like, I remember as a kid, I spent a lot of time in Europe as a kid, and we got British TV, and they would always have, like, a week where it was just TV programs about Ibiza, and it was always like, this week on Sky, Ibiza live, and it would just be like, well, why?
I mean, they pretty much already destroyed all the culture, like,
I know,
in a 100-mile radius of that place just due to their vacation.
And yeah, and then you just see all these, like, red people dancing boisterously, and I'm like, this is, like, it's creepy is what it is.
I agree. It's everything about that just makes me upset.
Yeah, and I wish I could remember why, but it would just be like, yeah, Ibiza on Sky One, like, tune in, and I don't know, it was always on late, my mom never let us, but I was always...
Why would you want to see it?
Well, I was, like, 10, and, you know, it looked vaguely scandalous, and if you stayed up late, you got to see British people doing, you know, rude things. I don't know, it seemed interesting.
Just us perverts.
That's why I got left behind yesterday, because God was like, hey, I remember you trying to watch the Brits do perverted things on Sky One.
It was just you, Maggie.
Yeah, he's like, remember how nobody else wanted to watch that? And there was this one perverted kid who wanted to watch it, and it was you.
And that was good enough to keep you out of heaven.
Not even the people who made it on Sky One wanted to watch it.
They repented.
You know what, Maggie? Everybody who worked at Sky One is in heaven now.
Now, that is stretching it.
I don't know. I like to think that maybe the people responsible for the content of that show had some realizations later in life. At least that it wasn't good television. I mean, I don't care about their, whatever their moral compass might be. At least a realization that the quality was somewhat lacking.
I hope that too, just for the sake of, you know, the viewing public.
I miss Sky TV.
I don't think I ever really had it when I was in London because we were poor. But
yeah, for some reason, we got, like, all these British shows, and so we watched, like, we had all the British channels. Most of what I know about England actually does not come from actually living there. It comes from watching a ton of British TV growing up.
It's an education in its own right.
I like to think I know a little something about about the Scepter Dial.
What?
It's from Shakespeare, Aaron. Look it up.
No, if it's not on Wikipedia, then I don't know.
I bet Shakespeare has a banging Wikipedia entry.
That sounds just like him.
Anyway, I hope it's better than Debrett's.
I wonder if there's any crossover there.
Shakespeare and Debrett.
I'm going to make that. I'm going to make that happen on Wikipedia tonight.
Shakespeare enjoyed some popularity after his death on the short-lived television series Shakespeare and Debrett. I don't really know how he would have a TV series after his death with Debrett, but somehow he did. And it was banging, just like his Wikipedia entry.
Somehow, like, one of the subtopics under William Shakespeare is Anne Hathaway.
Yeah, because it was his wife.
And Hamnet Shakespeare.
His son.
Wikipedia has gone insane.
Wait, no, you know that that's really the name of his wife and his son, right?
What?
Yeah, no, that's true. Like, I wasn't kidding.
Hamnet?
Hamnet was the name of his son. He had a son named Hamnet Shakespeare, and Anne Hathaway was his wife.
Okay, Anne Hathaway, you know, I stand corrected. Hamnet?
True. Story. True-ass story.
I just... Clearly, I don't know much about Shakespeare. He had two kids. Maybe I should start mispronouncing his name, too.
He had two
Shakespeare.
Shakespeare. He had two kids, Hamnet and Judith.
Judith.
I know.
No, he has three. Susanna Hall.
Oh, whatever. I knew Hamnet and Judith. I mean... That would be good to be going on with it, like some kind of trivia... Festival.
Festival?
Yeah. If I, not you know, like a trivia contest, a festival.
They have those these days.
I'll have to see if there's a Wikipedia entry. But I feel like I get credit for knowing Judith and Hamnet. I mean, really?
You get mad props, especially for Hamnet, because clearly I was in the dark.
I am going to rock that trivia festival. I dare say they might make me their queen.
Well, just let me know so I can be present for the coronation.
So you can attend my coronation. Yes, well, I might. I might deign to send you an invitation. I don't know how long this festival is.
Or when it is.
It's not a question of what it is. It's how long it is.
My worst fear is that this festival actually occurs and you are the queen of the festival. Because then I'll just look like an ass.
No, I think I will.
I think we both will. If we don't ready.
Well, because my image of me getting coronated at, a trivia festival.
And me just being like, damn it!
Wait, this was real? No, my image, though, is like of Quasimodo in the cartoon getting crowned like the King of Fools.
Oh, no.
You know, where they have, like, this jester crown and, like, a fake urban cape, and everybody's like, yeah, you're the best, Maggie.
But people are, like, just, you know, patting your back.
Right?
Like, oh, just let her have her moment.
Exactly. And then it ends with me getting chained to a board while people throw tomatoes at me.
Because that's what happens to royals these days.
That's what happened to Quasimodo.
Yeah, but I don't understand why you drew that comparison. But okay.
Because that's just the image I get when I think of someone getting coronated at a festival. Because it's obviously not a real coronation. So I just have this image of Quasimodo and the gypsies and it all getting terribly out of hand.
Fair enough.
Yeah, so. And maybe that could be your thing, is you could be the brave gypsy woman who says, stop! Enough! Leave her alone! She's a human being!
Yes! Finally, I'm vindicated.
She is not a beast!
She is not a fool! She told me about Hamnet!
Let's all remember why we coronated her in the first place. Would a mere beast know the name of Shakespeare's son?
The answer is no.
Simple answer is no, they don't know that.
I can ask Rusty right now.
Yeah, Rusty. Well, Hitchens is out like a light. Even if he knew, it wouldn't be any... He'd be of no use to us. So, anyway, well, on that note, I think we've done all the damage we can do for one night.
I wonder if that can also be a current events porno.
What?
Your Quasimodo fantasies.
It's not a fantasy. It's just the way I kind of see this all playing out.
Sure.
It's not something I really want to happen. I'm just saying. Okay, turns out there are trivia festivals.
This is gonna happen, Maggie. I want you to go to one.
First of all, yes, there is a trivia festival. Second of all, we typically finish these with a porno drawn from current events, not an actual porno, just, you know, we come up with the premise for a porno based on a current event. And this time, as we said, current events wrote the porno for us. Arnold Schwarzenegger and his housekeeper.
His beautiful, beautiful housekeeper.
I choose to believe she's beautiful on the inside.
She's like a rose.
She's beautiful deep, deep inside.
Where it's hidden safely away from human eyes.
Human eyes, but not Arnold Schwarzenegger's eyes.
Well, he has no soul.
But yeah, it can only be detected by others of her kind, so. All right, well, Erin, it's been a pleasure recording with you tonight.
As always.
Join us next week. I'll announce the topic sometime during the work week for everyone, so. Remember, you can't read all the time.
Yes.